Please stand then for the call to worship. From Philippians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the faithful God. You have provided that one way of redemption for all your people in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so certainly we have all reason then to rejoice always in you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to pray to you, to seek your honor and your glory. Yes, to thank you for all your blessings that you have provided for us, for this life and for all eternity as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ in true repentance and faith. We know this is your holy will for all your chosen ones, and so we give you honor and glory. We pray you would then turn us away from our sins. Lead us as your people. May we hear your word and respond to you in all faith and new obedience. Again, cleanse us of all our unrighteousness for the sake of Christ alone, and may we respond to you as we ought. Guide and direct us. We do pray for your glory and our good through Christ our Lord in his holy name. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, 'tis now and ever shall be, world without end.
Let us again confess the true Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And let us turn to our first hymn, 382, God Himself is with us.
Thank you.
Well, it certainly is our greatest privilege to gather and to worship the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we need His help, His grace, even to do that, and His Spirit to purify our hearts, our minds, and to lead us in all righteousness. May God be so honored in this service and in all of life for us. Let's turn then to the reading of the Law of God on page 785. And the Holy God gave commandments that were plain and clear, and they tell us how we are to live in thankfulness, certainly. So we read together. God spake all these words, saying,
I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Honor thy father and thy mother, and thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Thou shalt not steal.
Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's.
Hear also the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
As always, we should remember how the law of God is a law of perfect love for God and neighbor, as said there. And it's simply our sinful nature that would rebel against and say, no, that doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem freedom, and whatever the excuse might be. But we know the right way to live is proclaimed to us as specified in those Ten Commandments. And we need a Savior, is what it tells us first of all, as we cannot keep these in thought, word, and deed. We need one who has done it all perfectly for us. And so we need Christ. And then in sheer gratitude for his saving death on the cross and his righteousness, we're to more and more obey the Lord and serve him and seek his honor and his glory. May we do that throughout our lives to the praise of the triune God. Now let's turn to our catechism reading. Lord's Day 13, we'll look at today 865. Again, we'll read responsively, Lord's Day 13, questions 33 and 34. 33 asks, Why is he, Jesus, called God's only begotten Son, since we also are the children of God? Because Christ alone is the eternal, natural Son of God, but we are children of God by adoption through grace for his sake. Well, of course, when it tells us Christ is the eternal, natural Son of God, it means he is God, the only one who has always been. You know, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he is God the Son. And he is that one that the Father loves and has given even to be the Redeemer for his people. Because he is so given and he has won redemption, we are, believers are, children of God by adoption through grace for his sake. Yes, it's a wonderful privilege for us to be the children of God, and it's because of Jesus that that is brought about, and it is our assurance then for all eternity as we rest in such a Savior and God the Father. Question 34, why do you call him our Lord? Because, not with silver or gold, but with his precious blood, he has redeemed and purchased us, body and soul, from sin and from all the power of the devil, to be his own. Yes, we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the confidence of Christians. As he has purchased us, he has caused us to become his own, even by his saving death, bearing hell on the cross for all God's people. And so, what a wonderful thing to be redeemed, to be purchased, to be owned by him, body and soul, now and forever. We are delivered then through the grace of Christ from sin, from its enslavement, from Satan, from all that power of the devil, from death, to be the Lord's. And so, what a privilege it is to call him our Savior and our Lord, our Master, the one we want to follow. And may that be the delight of our hearts, each one, more and more. Again, with such a God who has brought us redemption, we have the great privilege to worship him, and we should show thankfulness not only in this hour of worship, but in all of life. Our lives should be lives of worship and praise to the Lord our God. Well, let us come together then, our time of prayer, as we do seek the Lord and his mercies together. Now, Father in heaven, we give you praise and honor. We know that what we have read, what we have heard, what we have confessed is only right and true and good, and we know that you are the holy, holy, holy God. You are the creator, redeemer, and sanctifier of your people. You proclaim the truth even as you made our first parents in paradise. You told them how to live to your praises, and certainly they had that great calling, and they had no inclination towards sin, so it is that mystery to us, and yet, according to your eternal plan, the first parents of all mankind, Adam and Eve, sinned. They turned away. They followed the ways of the devil instead of you, and they are responsible for that, and certainly we also share in that responsibility. Adam represented all mankind, all naturally born. And so we acknowledge our own sin, our depravity, and our utter need of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you gave us the very law of God, your commandments, to show us our fallenness and how we do not obey you as we ought, how we need redemption, how we need forgiveness, and forgiveness of all our sins and everlasting life. We thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who obeyed in every thought, word, and deed. He lived that holiness that we could not, and he accomplished redemption even at the cross. We praise you, O Christ, for bearing hell there for all your people. How amazing that is, and that message of the gospel that we are to trust and obey, to live out, and to bring to others. How we pray that more and more the word of Christ will go forth in our land, certainly our state, our nation, and in all countries of this world. Many more would be won to Christ before that day of judgment that is coming. May we never forget that, but be your witnesses even where we are and in all situations. We thank you for answering prayers for us and providing us what we truly need for this life and for eternity. We continue to pray and ask for your blessings as we need them as a congregation, as families and individuals. Pray for the officers of the church that we will be faithful to you. We pray you'll guide certainly our consistory and spiritual council, that we would seek to do what pleases you, Heavenly Father. We ask for your blessings. We pray for certainly the upholding of human life and the value of it in our state and nation. We pray for your mercies, O Lord God. And we do pray for those in Ohio, pray for that election on Tuesday, that they would not have abortion put into their state constitution as has been done elsewhere. Pray for your mercies, that life would be upheld instead. And for our state as well, pray that would not be something on our election next year. But we pray that certainly truth would win out and the value of unborn life would be upheld and acknowledged. Guide and direct us, we do pray, and for a great reawakening, we do ask for our nation and elsewhere again, that many would be won to the Lord Jesus Christ above all. We thank you for all your faithfulness to us, O Lord God. We do pray for various individual needs. We praise you for answering prayers in so many ways, and we continue to ask for them. We do pray for Rodney Model, he has the biopsy tomorrow. We pray for your direction, for wisdom and guidance. If he does have any cancer, any prostate cancer that would be discovered and could be dealt with, pray for your mercies for him and all the family. We do pray for others, for Jacob and Joan Vance, and ask for your power to be manifest in their lives. If Jacob has any liver cancer, it could be dealt with, and certainly help him and Joan to trust in you. Help her as he deals with the stress and that she is in the hospital now in Aberdeen. We pray you'll deliver her, certainly that kidneys would be functioning and all, that she can be back home. Pray for Lucinda, her health needs. We thank you for providing for her, and we ask for your continued blessings. Be with the Nielsons as they look to you. May they do that in true faith. Certainly be with Emma and Sam as they would have this married life now. We pray for your blessings upon them. Certainly with Kyle, that he would repent, turn to you, and certainly not turn to alcohol. We ask for your mercies if he has other rehab time, and that you would guide and direct there. Be with Chico, the church there, Covenant Reformed, and Reverend Gary Mancillas. We ask for your blessings upon your congregation there. Again, we do cry out to you. We pray for Christians who are persecuted for the faith. Certainly there is some of that in our nation, but much more elsewhere. May they be strong in serving you, O Lord God, and that their persecutors would be brought to repentance and faith even. Pray for an end of hostilities in Ukraine. We pray for Israel, your protection for them, and that they would not have terrorists attacking. And we ask for your power, your glory, and guide for our country and how we care for those allies. We ask for your mercies, O Lord, that you'd keep us from other wars to be involved in, but that the truth would win out in these various places. Help us to hear your word. Help me to proclaim it, and that we would be edified through it, and for all partaking of the sacrament also. We ask for your blessings, O Lord, that you would be honored above all, and that we would show our thankfulness. Guide and direct us in all things. Forgive us of all our sins. Cleanse us of all our unrighteousness, and lead us as your children. In thankfulness, we pray it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let us turn then to hymn number 634, Sweet Hour of Prayer. As we stand to sing, we know we need to seek the Lord God in all of life, and may we do that more and more faithfully, trusting Him.
Such I hasten to the
place where God my Savior shows his face, and gladly take my station there and wait for the sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wing shall my petition bear. To him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless, and since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer.
Be seated. Scripture passage for the sermon today is Acts 12, 11 to 19. Acts 12, starting at verse 11, after Peter was released or brought out by God from the prison. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You're beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Then, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Now, beloved, you know, of course, that prayer is a means of grace. That is, God works through it in his unmerited favor, as also in the scriptures and in the sacraments, the other means of grace. And Christ and his benefits reach his people by such, and so we believe on him, and we're strengthened in faith throughout this life as we do trust him. We receive spiritual blessings thereby with these means of grace. And in prayer, the Lord answers with whatever good he determines for spiritual and physical health, physical life. Thus, believers are provided with all things necessary for body and soul, as said in Heidelberg Catechism 26. And so you and I can trust our Heavenly Father at all times and look to his sovereign will. Obviously, there is no guarantee we will receive whatever we may think to ask. Yet God's provisions promised in his word will be granted to his people when requested. Oh yes, sufferings, we know, may not be removed. Yet our sovereign Redeemer does what is according to his perfect will, and that will turn out for the ultimate good of his followers. Indeed, you and I are to be learning more of our God then, of his goodness and how he answers us. And then we are to give him all the glory, of course. And so, dear ones, let us be learning through our prayers. First, to recognize answers, and secondly, to expect answers, and third, to acknowledge his answers. Well, here it was, obviously a surprise to Peter and to the church, evidently, when the Lord delivered him from prison and from death. They learned, however, to recognize the answer when seeming unreal. As we saw before, it was a marvelous deliverance, a miraculous deliverance from the prison by God's power as an angel led Peter out right under the guard's watch. And it is certainly meant to be seen as an answer to the prayers of the Jerusalem believers. Whereas in verse 5, constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. After being brought down one street, the angel left Peter, and then he understood it was real. He said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me." Before that, in verse 9, Peter did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. As one said, he had followed the angel like a man in a trance or a dream, and now he woke up to his strange situation and took stock of it. Yes, God had truly snatched him from his near fate of execution. And so the apostle knew he was free. But what else would he know? He would know he was in danger if he stayed where he was, on a street near the prison. Oh, what had not been expected, and the occasion seeming unreal, was suddenly recognized as reality, recognized as an answer to prayer, and Peter should respond accordingly. Again, it seems Peter had expected to be martyred. The time for that evil work Herod Agrippa intended was just, it had been just a few hours away. Yet the seemingly unreal deliverance was reality in the Lord's mercy. And so Peter was here giving all praise to God, and the angels would do that as well. Holy angels don't want man's praise, they only want the Creator, their Creator, to be glorified. Again, the apostle would then go somewhere unlikely to be found. But first, he wanted to inform his fellow Christians of what happened. He wanted them also to rejoice in the real answer, obviously. And yes, that should be our great desire as well, brothers and sisters. When you and I see good that we could not bring about nor expected, let us see it as really from our gracious Lord. Oh, we may not remember praying much about it, or we might have done so feebly. Yet his answers spring from his infinite love and grace to his people. And truly, as Jesus said, apart from him, you and I, we can do nothing. Yet many times when we know we've prayed and we receive our petition, we're slow to praise God for such. Let us instead learn more quickly to recognize answers and give honor to the Almighty Giver. Yes, you and I are to see an answer, even when prayer is enabled. In verse 12, Peter came to, or rather went to, as other translations, went to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, for he knew that Christians would be there as a main meeting place of the local church. And many were, indeed, praying there. Other prayer meetings were occurring elsewhere, no doubt. For remember, the Jerusalem church by this time numbered in the thousands. And this was a special time of need, which is instructive for all the church today as well. Oh, this Mary had faith and courage to have such a meeting in her home in this time of persecution. Also, she must have had some financial means, having a house large enough for church meetings. Yes, it was an answer from God, you see, when prayer was so enabled in that place. And so likewise, dear ones, let us see it as a wonderful answer to prayer, to our prayers, prayers of this congregation, that we even have this facility in which to meet each Lord's Day. Yes, give thanks to God at all times for that. Well, prayer in the next generation after Mary's was enabled also in her son. By the way, Mark was a relative, perhaps a cousin of Barnabas, as said in Colossians 4:10. And remember, Barnabas had provided for the prayers of God's people and other charity of the work, even when he sold land and had given the money there in Acts 4. In any case, this is the first certain introduction to John Mark, who would be important, as said, in Christian history over the next 30 years. For later church historians said he was Peter's interpreter in Rome and reproduced Peter's preaching in the second gospel. I know Mark is said to be the first gospel written. And so many would hear of Christ and be evangelized in so having it heard and read. Indeed, something, Christ's Last Supper was held at this house of Mary. In any case, it is likely, also likely, the young man who fled at the Lord's arrest in Mark 14:51 and following was Mark himself, who kept from mentioning his own name. Well, it is obvious that Christians worked in the day and they gathered to pray at night in this crisis, and that showed their faith and their zeal to intercede with God for Peter. After all, he was a leader of the church. They would pray for him and for the whole situation of the church, for the church under persecution. Again, the Lord had so enabled their desire and the prayers of the faithful. In contrast to that, certainly the unbelieving leaders of Israel would be aggravated if they knew of it. And yet our Lord Jesus spoke of two or three or more being gathered together to seek his will, certainly in church matters and in all things. He spoke of that in Matthew 18. And so they followed what he said, not what those unbelieving leaders of Israel would want. They sought to pray without ceasing in this way. And again, it was an answer to pray, or that they were so enabled. And so again, may you and I be more thankful. Yes, may we have gratitude to the Lord and recognize God's answers, even when we're simply able and desire to pray and have such occasions. Let us recognize that all good comes from our Lord Jesus Christ, comes through him, and learn to praise him more. Secondly, we are to be learning to pray, or learning in prayer to expect answers. Oh, that should be obvious when Jesus said in John 14:13, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do." Again, it has to be the Father's will in our prayers. It's not just anything we come up with. It has to be what Christ would put his name to, as on a check for an illustration. What he would put his name to, we pray in his name. But you and I are to expect answers even that can exceed our petitions. Well, that was rather amusingly shown here when Peter knocked on the door at this house for a long time. The gate may have been at the end of a courtyard or at the entrance separating the main room from the street. And here Rhoda, the servant girl, went to ask who was there when she heard the knocking. That would be normal, of course, lest a robber, for example, enter. And when she came to the gate, she recognized Peter's voice. And yet, you see, in her joy, she didn't open the gate. She ran back in, saying he was there. Yes, it's humorous that she was so surprised and overjoyed that she left him outside. Oh, truly that fact exceeded the petitions of the church as well. For those inside could not believe Peter was there. Couldn't believe the answer to their prayers stood at the door. Instead, rather than think that the Lord could have so delivered Peter, they refused to accept her statement. They said she'd gone mad. But we could think how that was parallel, similar to the unbelief of the disciples on the day of our Lord's resurrection in Luke 24. They did not believe for joy and marveled. Well, obviously in this case, those praying did not expect a wonderful answer to their petitions. It went beyond that. They probably only hoped that Peter would be strengthened to glorify Christ in life and in death. I remember that was Paul's concern. He recorded that in Philippians 1. Whether he died, whether he lived, he only wanted Christ to be glorified. Here they did not want the church scattered, certainly, or the weak to give way. They would pray about that. They wanted the persecution to stop, no doubt. Yet it said, the Lord with His immeasurable goodness, outdid their prayers, granting them more than they hoped for. And truly, that shows us how near our Redeemer is to His praying people. Yes, beloved, may you and I remember that with our prayers. Christ is right beside us, as it were, in the spiritual realm. And His gracious answers can come quickly, and they can come with infinite power, always able to exceed our petitions. He does what is good, the perfect will of God, of course. And so then, trust in Him. Expect His good answers, whatever they will be. Let us expect such that show God's providence. Well, no doubt, prayers were offered up for James, who was killed. James, the brother of John, killed by King Herod, verse 2. And as for martyrs, as one wrote, that James should die while Peter should escape is a mystery of divine providence, which has been repeated countless times in the course of Christian history down to our day. As for Peter, the response to Rhoda's insistence that he was there came to be, well, then it's his angel. And that could go along with a Jewish view that is later attested. That is, a guardian angel could appear in the image of the person that angel protected. And some thought that would happen before that person died. So again, those praying seem to have thought it was rather certain Peter would be killed in the morning. Well, Luke does not mean that particular idea of an angel was a sound doctrine. He just records what they said. Anyway, the Jews did believe there were guardian angels at this time. After all, that much is what Scripture indicates. In Hebrews 1:14, angels are, quote, ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. Yes, they're sent to help us. Also in Psalm 91:11, for He, God, shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Oh, yes. What goodness of our God to protect believers as He determines is declared. And yet remember, Satan twisted that confidence to tempt Jesus to jump off the temple. God will protect you. Our Lord would not so tempt the Heavenly Father as He said. Also, Jesus said, as in Matthew 18:10, that the angels of the little ones, that is, believers, always see the Father's face in heaven. And yet, that does not say each Christian has a personal guardian angel, for there could be one of them to help a whole nation, as said in Daniel 10, or there could be many of them protecting one person, as with Elisha, 2 Kings 6. And so whatever the circumstances, God's answers show His perfect providence, His care to do all that is needed for Christ's followers. Yes, Jesus went to the cross to enable it all. As for Peter, he stood there and he knocked insistently and anxiously, no doubt, for he did not want to be found again by Herod's police. And so he probably would not knock too loudly, since Mary's house would be, as said, one of the first places a search party would come. Thankfully, in God's providence, he was not discovered by them, and when heard by those within the gate, he could go elsewhere, which was safer. And so, yes, as for you and me, dear ones, let us expect the Lord's good answers that show his providence. Trust and depend on him in all things. What he promises, he will do. And for what is not promised, you and I must wait on his purposes. At last we know, as he promises, that will be eternal life in the perfect world to come for all followers of Jesus. Yes, thanks be to the Lord our God. Lastly, then, you and I must learn to acknowledge answers. Well, Peter had to hush the excited crowd that they might acknowledge the Lord's answer to their prayers. And we're to do that for removing anxiety. Oh, of course, the people would be naturally curious as to how Peter escaped, and he told them, the Lord brought him out of prison. So their anxiety over him could be removed. Also, Peter wanted that to be the case for other believers. And so he said, go tell these things to James and to the brethren. And the reason must be that James would be a leader in the Jerusalem church who many would consult and heed in telling this news. Now, some commentators think this was the other apostle James, the son of Alphaeus, that many believe, as I do, it is the half-brother of Jesus, who was listed in Mark 6:3. There, those who rejected Jesus at Nazareth said, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joses, Judas, and Simon? And that half-brother of Jesus is mentioned as such elsewhere. Indeed, the risen Christ appeared to him, 1 Corinthians 15:7. And Paul counted him later as one of the pillars of the Jerusalem church, Galatians 2:9. And there this James with Peter and John welcomed Paul and Barnabas with the right hand of fellowship that they would go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Yes, Paul called him unofficially one of the apostles, James the Lord's brother, Galatians 1:19. And so he might have been at this stage already Peter's deputy, as said. He certainly became a leader of the church as at the church council in Acts 15 and in chapter 21:18 when Paul entered the city again. There it says the elders were with this James, and the brethren mentioned here could be the elders. In any case, the answer of Peter's deliverance was to remove anxiety for James and those with him. Through them, the church would hear further and have anxiety calmed. On the other hand, it's clear without acknowledging what God has done, anxiety is not removed. That's plain in the no small stir among the soldiers in the morning. And by the way, Peter's deliverance must have been between 3 and 6 a.m., for the change of the watch earlier would have revealed it. Yes, it was a great shock and disturbing to them, to those soldiers. After all, the result of Herod's search, probably even going to surrounding homes, did not find Peter. Well, as for us, clearly it is still a blessed thing when answers are acknowledged, when God's goodness is seen. Thereby, anxiety may be removed, or it may be calmed at least when any comfort is received in times of grief and trouble. So whatever your and my situation, beloved, if we can't see an answer to trials, let us recognize when the Spirit of the Lord leads us to prayer, to call upon, to cry out to God. And then for our peace, we can, as in 1 Peter 5:7, cast our cares on God who cares for us. You and I know that care is proven in Christ's saving love, of course. And let us then be glad to tell others, to let others know of the answers the Lord provides for which they have prayed. Yes, let us then acknowledge answers for building confidence. For all the praying church, Peter desired that they would have greater confidence in the Lord with the example of his favor. And I think, yes, the apostles needed that as well. For other apostles may have been hiding after James, the brother of John, had been killed, and with Peter's arrest, they could easily think the same might come to them. But Peter was confident to return after Herod's death. He spoke at the council in chapter 15. After that, he's no longer mentioned in Acts. But he did go to other lands, it said in Galatians and in tradition and history. In any case, to have confidence in the Lord does not preclude a lawful seeking for self-preservation. Self-denial and suffering we're called to for Christ's sake does not mean one cannot flee persecution. In fact, Jesus commanded that we can do so. He did that as in Matthew 24. And early Christians escaped the destruction of Jerusalem, heeding him. When they saw the Romans coming, they left. As for Peter, no one knows where he went at this time. But a less known place would be safer for him and for those at Mary's house. Again, James took Peter's place as the recognized leader at Jerusalem at some point. His kinship to Jesus and natural gifts of leadership may have so led. And the apostles, it said, were more absent from that city in the middle 40s on. Also, James had respect of the common people at Jerusalem for his law-abiding life and his prayers at the temple for them. He wanted Israel to be turned to the Lord. And yet, when a high priest had him stoned in 61 AD, it shocked the people. Some later said the destruction that came to that city through Rome resulted from the lack of his prayers then. Oh, let us not lack prayers to seek the Lord and what he has for us. Let us each remember that without prayer, no confidence in the Lord can be expected. Herod, for example, he got no satisfactory answer from the guards, and he must have thought it was a plot against him to let Peter go and that they were bribed. And so it was not true or godly confidence that he had them executed. In his reign, he would not have to follow Roman law if he had confidence in God. It was, yes, Roman practice that a guard who allowed a prisoner to escape would receive the penalty that prisoner would have had. But Agrippa acted in that typical ancient fashion. And we could say, certainly I would think, who would want to be a guard then? No doubt they never imagined such an escape would occur, which they had no ability to stop. They only had false confidence when they were opposing God, as all people who oppose him do. But here it cost them their lives. Well, you and I, fellow believers, can have true confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, especially as we acknowledge his answers for us. May we do that more than we do. Here, think of it. Herod's vengeance on the guards could not harm the church nor dishonor Christ at all. Rather, it was to the Lord's glory that the wicked were powerless. And so they are at all times, however God determines. Oh, if we would have to die for the sake of Christ, you and I know that his martyrs enter heaven immediately, as all departed saints do. Therefore, in all times and circumstances of this brief life, let us be people of prayer, depending on our Lord. May we each more fully recognize, expect, and acknowledge his answers his answers to our prayers and the prayers of others. Yes, may God triune be so glorified in all such thoughts, words, and deeds. May we give him praise. Amen. Let us pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we thank you that you do hear us. You're that faithful Father at all times. You provide according to your perfect will, even when we do not understand what that will is. And we see grief and trouble, we have pain, and yet you are the faithful one. We know that. And may we fully then recognize it, expect it, and acknowledge your answers more and more. Yes, may you receive all the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May we be your witnesses, depending upon Christ, who died on the cross, who rose again to bring us redemption, to bring us forgiveness, righteousness, and everlasting life. May you be so praised, O Lord God, as we live and as we speak and serve you. Guide and direct us. And now we do pray together as Christ taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus, listen to the words of the institution of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Again, the Lord's Supper is a sacrament instituted by Christ himself, and until he comes again, it is to be observed as a continuing remembrance of his sacrifice and his death on the cross. The physical elements of bread and wine represent the broken body and shed blood of the Savior, and they are received by true believers as signs and seals of all the benefits of his sacrifice. They signify and seal the remission of sins and nourishment and growth in Christ, and are a bond and pledge of the communion of believers with him and with each other as members of his spiritual body, the church. As signs and seals of the covenant of grace, they not only declare that God is faithful and true to fulfill the promise of the covenant, but they also summon us to all the duties of God's children. They call us to renewed consecration in gratitude for his salvation. In order that we may celebrate the Lord's Supper to our comfort, it's first necessary that we properly examine ourselves. A true examination consists in these three parts. First, let everyone consider by himself his sins and accursedness apart from Jesus Christ, so that he may be displeased with himself and humble himself in the presence of the Holy God. Second, let everyone examine his heart as to whether he truly believes this certain promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven only for the sake of Jesus Christ. Third, let everyone search his conscience whether he is determined to show his gratitude to God the Lord all the days of his life by walking uprightly before him. It is always my solemn duty to warn the uninstructed, the profane, the scandalous, and those who secretly and unrepentantly live in any sin not to approach the holy table where they would partake unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body, and so would eat and drink judgment to themselves. Nevertheless, that warning is not meant to keep the humble and contrite from the table of the Lord, as if the supper were for those who might be free from sin in their lives. On the contrary, we who are invited to the supper come as guilty and polluted sinners who are without hope of eternal life, apart from the grace of God in Christ. We confess our dependence for pardon and cleansing upon his perfect sacrifice. We base all our hope of eternal life upon his perfect obedience and righteousness, and we humbly resolve to deny ourselves, crucify our old nature, and follow Christ as becomes those who bear his name. Let us then pray together. O merciful God and Father, we beseech you that in this supper we would cherish the blessed memory of Christ's bitter death. We pray that you would work in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that with true confidence we may give ourselves up more and more unto your Son, Jesus Christ, in order that our burdened and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Spirit, may be nourished and refreshed with his true body and blood, yes, with Christ himself, who is true God and man, the only heavenly bread. We pray that we may no longer live in our sins, but that Christ may live in us, and that we may live in him, that we may truly be partakers of the new and everlasting testament, the covenant of grace. We do not doubt that you will forever be our gracious Father, never again imputing our sins to us, but will provide us with all things necessary for body and soul as your dear children and heirs. Grant us also your grace so that we may take up our own cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all our tribulations, with an uplifted head, expect the Lord Jesus to come from heaven, where he will recreate our mortal bodies in the likeness of his glorified body and take us to himself in eternity. Be pleased also, O Lord, to bless these elements of bread and wine, so that receiving them in remembrance of the passion and death of your dear Son, we may by faith be made partakers of his crucified body and shed blood, with all his benefits to our spiritual nourishment and to the glory of your holy name. Amen. At this time, I ask for the elders and all who can partake to come forward. Jesus, on the same night as which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?
cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Depart in peace. Amen. Let us pray together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore, our hearts and lives shall show forth your praises, O Lord, from now on and forevermore. Amen. And we can at this time give of our tithes and offerings in thankfulness to the Lord. Let's turn to our last hymn, number 420, At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing, as we stand to sing of Christ's saving love, his work at the cross. Praise
we him whose love divine gives his sacred blood for wine, gives his body for the feast, Christ the victim, Christ the priest. Where the paschal blood is poured, death's dark angel shields his sword. Israel's host triumphant go through the wave that drowns the foe. Praise we Christ whose blood was shed, paschal victim, paschal bread. With sincerity and love eat we manna from above. Mighty victim from the sky, powers of hell beneath thee lie. Death is conquered in the fight. Thou hast brought us life and light, hymns of glory and of praise. Risen Lord, to thee we raise. Holy Father, praise to thee with the Spirit ever be.
You receive the Lord's benediction. Now the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son,